And welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark, a special edition with an old friend, Father Richard Holung, MOP of the Missionaries of the Poor. You will know him immediately as you see him.
How are you, Dick?
Great to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
People got to see you back last fall when you were on with Jim and Joy.
Uh-huh.
But it's been a while since you've been here. I know kind of during the pandemic, you were kind of restricted on where you were traveling, right?
Right. I was in the Philippines at that time. Yes.
Right. So it's great to see you. We still have some DVDs available, The Church and the Poor Come and See, that we did almost about 10 years ago, and some other spots that you did, which we call The Church and the Poor, The Encounter. And we've always been able to run your wonderful programs and always have had fabulous responses to people seeing you and the brothers and the priests living out their faith, you know, as Christ would ask it to in dealing with the poorest of the poor.
Yes, yes, Doug. Yes, no, you had promised me that you would come to Jamaica sometime. What happened to that? No.
Well, I sent I sent some people who were better than me. Peter Gagnon and John Ellis were much better people than me. They went instead so that they could make sure that it was done right, because I would have just let you down. And speaking of that, you know, it's great to have you on this show. And, you know, in this show, you never know who's going to show up with a book. And in your case, you don't have one. But I remember with Mother Angelica, you know, you never knew who was going to be on her program. You just never knew. So let's take a look back and see maybe who wandered into her studio, maybe back in 1998.
Tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful show. My favorite, one of my favorite priests. I have to be careful when I say that, you see, because I got three or four in the audience, and I got one in a corner there. But he is a dear friend, Father Benedict Groeschel, and Father Richard Holung. And Father Richard Holung. We're talking about religious, new religious communities.
We have with us tonight a founder of a new religious community, the Missionaries of the Poor, Father Richard Holung. The initials of the Missionaries of the Poor, M-O-P, which means the MOPS, really illustrates what the community does, because they work like the Missionaries of Charity, the brothers, sisters, and priests, with the desperately poor and destitute, beginning in Jamaica. And Father was a member of the Society of Jesus. He was a Jesuit. So this is something a bit unusual, a community coming from the Jesuits. So I met Father Richard, and I'm very, very impressed. The Franciscan community, they're all over the place, you know. Many branches, twigs.
My voice isn't that bad.
Only God knows how many kinds of Franciscans there are, right? So, Father Richard, tell us a little bit about the MOPS, the Missionaries of the Poor.
Yes. In Jamaica, our island is hardly Catholic. It's only about 4.5% Catholic. And as a convert, I found something very precious to me, which was my faith when I was converted to Catholicism. I saw that it was dying. It was very clear to me it was dying. I saw the numbers of men leaving, missionaries disappearing, our church being very small in terms of numbers. And during the times of 1970s, when the country was very much threatened by communism, I saw everything falling apart. And I felt that one thing that must not be was that our church must not die or disappear. And that was wedded with a terrible guilt that I had, I must confess, that I was teaching at the university. And I saw so little results. Teaching is one thing, but also doing the works of Christ was another.
Amen. 25 years ago, I think that's probably around the time we would have met as well. And I remember when Father Groeschel said he was bringing somebody with him who turned out to be you. So you left teaching at that time to work with the poor. How's that work for you?
Oh, my goodness. Very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Very, very fulfilling. You see, Doug, we either just say things and don't do them, mm-hmm. you know, or we do them even without saying. And the latter is the better, mm-hmm. you know. Because finally, by your works, you will know them. And that I felt, moving from just teaching at the university in the United States or in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Words, hypocrisy, mm-hmm. no? But the word must be made flesh. We must get something done so that people can see the works of Christ, mm-hmm. people can see Christ, they can witness the living, acting, vibrant church, which I think we're called to be. Mm-hmm. And people no longer believe in just words. Mm-hmm. We've got to do something, no? And the Beatitudes arrested me. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 5, verse 3:12, it talks about the Beatitudes, right. which I began to understand in a new light, that it was stated by Christ. This is my raison d'etre, mm-hmm. to be, to come to earth. I've come to preach good news to the poor. Mm-hmm. And I said, got to stop it, no? At that time I was 41 years old, mm-hmm. and either I was going to do it or not. Right. And it was a little bit terrifying.
That was 40 plus years ago then, yeah? You're talking about.
Yes. Was a little bit terrifying because my whole life I had been trained by Jesuits to become a teacher, to become a lecturer, mm-hmm. but not to work with the poor. Mm-hmm. Then after all this intellectual activity, there I was with the retarded and the homeless, mm-hmm. and the speechless and so forth.
Right.
And I thought, all right, Lord, right. you've got a sense of humor.
He always does, right.
You got to give that up.
Right. Well, one of the great things I think we've always seen in working with you over the years and doing programs with you and supporting your work and promoting your work has been the fact that you managed to bring everything together in the sense of the doctrinal aspects of the faith, the teachings of the faith, the strength of the faith, and the working with the poor, with the idea that this is how you live out your faith. But we don't forget about also what our faith is about.
Yes, exactly. Without Christ at the center of it, mm-hmm. it lacks a soul. It's like a body without a soul. Social work mm-hmm. without spirituality is dead. Is dead. So, but with Christ and mm-hmm. His will working through yeah. you. You begin to understand now that your life then takes on a whole other dimension. Right. You are Christ for others,
right.
you know? And I think, Doug, that's a new spirituality. Mm. Mother Teresa,
right.
she became the master of that. We must see Christ in the poor, you know? Not just see them as other beings, hungry mouth, an empty belly, a naked person, mm-hmm. but they are the body of Christ. And suddenly everything right. comes alive and meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like the sower who went out to sow the seed. And so forth. Everything right. became alive at that particular time. It gives a reality dimension. But the terror is going from word to flesh, mm-hmm. to getting something
that
done.
Risking that trust
right.
that you can rely on Christ yes. and His Word.
Yes. The poet Eliot says, between the conception and the reality lies a shadow. Mm-hmm. No, we've got to let that shadow be dispelled by actually being a person of light, mm-hmm. you know, Christ, Christ's light.
Now, you mentioned Mother Teresa, and I know she made the point in one time getting an award saying, I'm not a social worker, you know, I'm a contemplative nun. And one time opening a convent saying, if there's no priest and there's no Eucharist, we can't be here, because without Jesus, it doesn't work.
That's right.
Have you seen over the years many, and maybe this is what prompted you, sometimes us becoming a little too much social worker and not enough keeping Christ at the center of our work?
That's very much so. Mm-hmm. And that's what we tell the government. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't do our work because our work has another level, which is a level of the soul of man, the soul of woman, seeing Christ in other people.
Right.
It's not a question of food or clothes. And it's not even a matter of long life or short life. If the people live for just a few more years and we haven't given them the very best of material care, that's okay. Mm. They have died in the arms of a brother. The brothers are meant to be other Christs.
Well, I was going to ask you, it would strike me in some certain cases, certainly, or maybe it's most cases, it's the fact that someone cares.
That's right. And the laity are so important in that, right. Doug. We've got to have visitors, people who come down, and they themselves will experience Christ in the poor, and the poor will experience Christ in them. And we awaken the latent presence of Christ in each other.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's new light, so that you receive more than you give.
Right. Yes. It's interesting, too, because I can relate to it in some ways in dealing with special needs children and in situations like that. It's another case where you really see Christ alive, and you realize that so many of the things the world prizes are really unimportant.
That's right. That's right. And that's where religious life is needed. Mm-hmm. It's not social workers, but religious people are needed who really believe in this. Being alter Christus, the hands and the feet and the voice and the presence and the love of God.
Right. So you've been at it, let's say, 40 years or so, as far as working with the poor. And obviously, when we talk about the expansion that the MOPs have had over the time in the different countries they're in now, is it different out there today, 40 years later, than it was when you started, as far as working with the poor or the reception to your work by governments and other agencies, or even the church?
We don't take money from government. We don't take aid. We have a fourth of our free service. Mm-hmm. So everything we do it by the grace and the goodness of God. The people in general begin to understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, when they see brothers live so simply, mm-hmm. when they see that we depend entirely upon the Lord's goodness.
Right.
And who do we have? The laity. Amazing amounts of people have come to Jamaica. And I think it is the time of the laity. Synodology, but not helping with keeping books and,
right,
and
right.
so forth.
Right.
But
we don't need that many extra people on the altar. We really need them out in the world.
That's right.
That's right.
We don't need more people being part of a consultative committee or whatsoever. We need people who actually are with the people, right. because they are enriched, our lay friends, and they sometimes substitute for the brothers because the brothers are so tied up, Doug. Mm-hmm. You know, and we need them to be part of the team.
Well, I hope over the years, starting with Mother and probably back in 1998, the summer of 98, with that particular program and the other subsequent appearances on EWTN over the years and the series we've done, I think EWTN has helped to promote and raise the profile of the wonderful work you're doing right over the
and
years.
And we have had many visitors, except for the time of the COVID.
Right.
And Haiti now is in desperate need. Right, right. Yeah. The brothers continue the work. It's 95% Catholic.
Yeah.
Haiti and so confused.
It's a very dysfunctional society.
Dysfunctional.
Right.
That's right. And yet, you know, Doug, we have people who are volunteers sending all the containers, founding a school for the children.
So in addition to, let's say, you expanded from Jamaica to Haiti. I know you're in the Philippines. Where are the other places you're
quite on? A bit in the Philippines. We're in San Andres Bukit in Manila, very heavy slum, and we have 40 homeless there, and we're now building a new place, Doug, for another 20 children, all of them cripples, and we're in Cebu, in the Philippines, and there we're in a slum again. And also we have a home for the aged, elderly men and women. And then in Bicol, which is Naga, we have another home for about 100 homeless. And then we have feeding programs. We feed about 700 in Bicol.
So in addition then to the Philippines, are there other places that you have expanded to or you're working on expanding to?
Yeah. We have homes in North India and South India. We work with lepers, and we also have other homeless children and adults. Then we're in Africa, Uganda and Kenya. We have about 500 homeless there. And we have a new home in Tanzania. Then also we're in Indonesia, as you know, that's a Muslim country.
Right.
But we have a home there for children also. And also East Timor, which is a new country, newly independent, separated from Indonesia.
Right, and that is a higher Catholic population there, doesn't it?
95% Catholic,
that,
yes.
That was it.
Very heavy.
Right.
But a lot of poverty also. But we're there also. So
how do you get, I mean, do you decide to go there? Does somebody come and invite you and say, we, you know, lay people or organizations, the church, who invites you, or do you just say, this is a place that needs us?
All criteria is the poor, and secondly, vocations, because they need laborers in the vineyard. And then a bishop would invite us. We would let the bishop know who we are and so forth. They would invite us, or some people would send letters to us just requesting, and we respond.
Right.
Yes.
So how many in total priests and brothers, and what's the...
We have sisters also.
Sisters, okay.
Right. No, they deal with women's issues. And we have had a battle in Jamaica, pro-life.
Right, I remember that.
And against
going
abortion.
Way back,
right.
Yeah, right.
So, how many do we have now? Close to 500.
Okay.
500 overall.
Are they mostly priests and sisters and brothers as opposed to priests, or?
Yes, we just have a few priests. We're a fraternal society.
Right.
That's built on the idea that, or the vision that Christ is the first brother among all brothers. He became one of us. And he was a servant of others. He was not clerical, he was not part of the hierarchy, but he really was part of the lowarchy, if there's such a word.
There is now.
Their service is wonderful.
So you mentioned about vocations. I was going to ask you. So when you go into, let's say, the Philippines for a period of time, do you then basically end up with a lot of vocations coming out of that particular country to support the work and then yes. allow you to go someplace else, at least to plant a seed, and then yes. you look for the vocations locally as well?
That's right. That's basically it. Actually, another order of sisters has sprung up, mm-hmm. and they are pro-life. The other sisters tend
so
to
you've
be...
you've got two sets of sisters.
Right. Oh, okay. The others take care of women's matters right. like abortion.
Right.
And taking women, and they stay with the women stay with us right. until they have a child. Then at that time they can discern mm-hmm. whether they want to leave the children with the sisters, or they want to take the child back with them.
Right. Now you have, I mean, there's a way, and we'll put up your email address and stuff like that, your website, so that people can find out more, obviously, about what you do on a regular basis, and not only prayerfully, but hopefully financially support your wonderful work. But another part of that, like you said, was at least for many years, maybe prior to the pandemic, I don't know if you're still doing it, but groups used to come down and actually spend, like you said, spend time at your various locations. I don't know whether Haiti, Jamaica, mm-hmm. if that's mm-hmm. basically where you do it. So how do people go about setting something that, like that up?
They simply need to write to us. Mm-hmm. And we have places where they sleep, mm-hmm. and it's free of cost. We don't charge anything. And they themselves bring skills with mm-hmm. them. And if not skills, just a big heart.
Right.
Because the people who are abandoned and homeless are lonely.
Right.
And they know no father and mother. Mm-hmm. And they have no frequent visitors. So that when suddenly when someone appears as a missionary, it's like seeing an angel.
Really?
It's really marvelous, mm-hmm. marvelous.
Now, now with that, how long would somebody normally, if they went to work with you for, in a group like that, is it a week, is it 2 weeks, or what's their normal?
Minimum Thursday to Sunday.
Okay,
yes.
Like a long weekend.
And then it can be longer than that,
okay.
yes.
Okay, what do you say to somebody who's sitting there, you know, in their comfy chair here in the United States, and they say, I'd like to help, I'll send some money and things like that. And I'd even love to go, but, you know, I heard, you know, it's kind of dangerous, and, you know, between diseases, but certainly even there's a lot of crime, and crime's bad enough in the United States.
That's why you should go.
Okay.
Doug, that's why you should go. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't need another conscience. I hadn't been in a Groschel for a number of years now. But you know that is I'm assuming something that people kind of see as a roadblock.
Oh,
right?
I think it's wonderful. And although we are in the ghettos, mm-hmm. The ghettos protect us.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They know us, and they know that we're there as people of mm-hmm. goodwill.
Right.
We're not there to take away their land, or we're not there to harass them at all.
Right. Yes. We take advantage of them like they've been taken advantage of their whole life. By
yeah, that's correct.
Whatever
yeah.
else in the
yes.
local area, which is where the people prey on those who are the weakest, right?
The EWTN has brought us workers, carpenters, of people who are experts in water. Mm-hmm. They have also brought people who are lawyers, all kinds of people mm-hmm. who are very, very helpful to us.
Right.
And we want to continue that, you know. Since the pandemic, there seemed to be lively interest once again.
So it's kind of starting up again?
It's starting up again. Mm-hmm. But we need to have them come. It's part of our experience of the laity in action.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very, very grateful for it.
Right.
And they have helped us a lot with medicines. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you what they haven't helped us with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right, that's interesting too, as you indicated. I know the CFRs would always say the same thing about that they're in these areas that, you know, that would be considered very dangerous or concerning. But because you were there for the right, you basically get left alone.
Yes. Yes, not only left alone, mm-hmm. but people inquiring, you know, mm-hmm. why are you doing this? No, and they hear about Christ. They hear about Christ, and they're very happy to hear about Christ. we have had conversions. Mm-hmm. We have had youngsters who come and they say when they go back, they want to become priests or sisters.
Really?
Yes. 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 Yes.
How many of do you know off the top? Maybe how many of the brothers have come out of, let's say, families or children or young men or young women who were actually originally being helped by your order?
Not so much.
Okay.
But many of them have been youngsters who are on the poor side.
Okay.
Yes, they were from struggling families. Mm-hmm. And they too wanted to join a community.
Right.
Who also help
right.
the poor.
Right.
Right, yes. And it's very interesting now that women who would be afraid of the ghetto in a very, very mm-hmm. special way, they're going forward.
Right.
Yes, we have homes now being run by sisters and taking in women who right. really come to abort.
Right.
And look, don't do that.
Right.
Take a look at that ultrasound.
Right.
No? What's that? Is that just an insect or just an animal? Or
a blob of cells?
No. Yeah, a set of cells. No,
absolutely.
This is my baby.
Well, you said it's people need to see the truth, whether it's the poor mm-hmm. or the child in the womb, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well. Right. You've done a wonderful job.
Thank you, Doug.
Bringing people that information, whether it be in person, obviously, and then through television on EWTN, and we've always been proud to partner with you. And maybe one of your miracles in the future when you become a saint will be that Doug Keck will actually show up at one of your places. That you can count that as one of the miracles. My good friend, Father Richard Holong, MLP, if you can't figure out who to support, support them, Missionaries of the Poor, and it's Missionaries of the poor.org. That's their web address. I highly recommend them and their wonderful, wonderful work. Thank you so much for this special bookmark, which we did with Father Richard Holong. Don't forget, he's also got some wonderful DVDs available at our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, All Things Catholic. I'm Doug Keck. We'll see you next time.